Hi, my name's Adam Zarek, Vice President of Business Development with DKI Canada. You're listening to Across the Street, Across the Country.
Well, it was in the epicenter of the fire, and it was discolored beyond belief, and we just managed to pull a little science and a little love into it. It stops being the homeowners for a little while, and it starts to become yourself, and you feel the story behind it yourself.
We all have that special something. To others, it may just be a modest trinket, a favorite but tattered sweater, a picture that paints a thousand words, but only to and for you. And if that special something has been damaged, the result of a property disaster, well, sometimes getting it back to even near original condition, it means everything to you. On today's show, we talk to someone who specializes in bringing those close to your heart and damaged objects back to life, and the stories he's heard, he's listened to, that make his job, his craft, special. Sean Carter joins us for a very thoughtful conversation. We've also got another installment of What Home Means to Me, featuring one of my favoritest DKI people, Natalie Rotondo. My name is Denis Grignot. Thanks for joining us on Across the Street, Across the Country. Would I burn down? Will this way tear us down? This show spends a lot of time, justifiably so, exploring and discussing the exemplary work DKI does in restoring buildings, homes, businesses, offices, you know, structures. But so much of what DKI also does and takes pride in is how it ensures that contents are restored. Those items that not necessarily have practical value or monetary value, but nevertheless have enormous emotional, even psychological value to the people that they are connected to. Calgary Contents, which has a very strong relationship with DKI Rocky Cross Construction North, understands this. It is not just some large warehouse that, you know, cleans stuff. It boasts restoring using state-of-the-art technology and specialized technicians. It boasts restoring memories. The general manager of Calgary Contents is Sean Carter. He joins me now from this facility that we just spoke of. Hey, Sean, thanks so much for taking time to be on our program.
Hi there. It's a pleasure.
I'm hoping you can describe the scene right now in your building. What would I see if I were in the middle of it right now? I'm curious about the hubbub and people moving back and forth. Is it just a beehive of activity? Or
we've got about 24,000 square feet of storage back there. So as you can imagine, it's hundreds of clients. There's lots of things to do in a given day. Our teams normally get out the door by about 8:15 to 8:30 and on site by 9 to 9:30, depending on location. So we've got to get everything staged and ready for them to come back, whether it's a pack back, put it in the crates, put it away, and get things ready to go out the door for the next day. So it's a whirlwind just about every day.
It never occurred to me that, of course, your teams have to go out and gather this stuff. It's not like the homeowner is just going to drop it off at your door and say, with a little note saying, please take care of this. That process must be awfully long then for your team before they actually get to the part where they're restoring and cleaning it.
It's true. We can go into the, let's say it's an average, four-bedroom home, upstairs, downstairs in the basement. And sometimes it can take us as long as 3.5 days to pack it out because we have to inventory everything that we move. And it's because, you know, the homeowner doesn't know us. We want to give them that security that, hey, at the end of the day, we're going to give you a pictorial inventory of everything we've touched in your home. We're going to document any damages that possibly could have been there, or when we bring the items back, items that are damaged by us. Your dining room table didn't have that scratch on there, so Calgary Contents will take care of that. We'll get that refinished for you. Or, yes, it was scratched, but it was scratched previously.
I'm curious about that first meeting when your team shows up at a house and the homeowners are there, whether it was a flood or a fire, and you got to know that those homeowners, their heads are in other places. So, yeah, you're nodding. So can you describe what that dynamic is when your team rushes in? Well, maybe not rushes in, probably quietly comes in and starts gathering all that stuff, just that relationship they have to with the homeowner?
Yeah, normally what we do is we send in our lead, and the lead meets with the homeowner. And, you know, all the team is cognizant of the fact that, you know, this is a traumatic event, unlike possibly losing a loved one. Their items, their treasures, their memories are now damaged in a certain way. So we have a conversation with them first, and we find out what's important to them. Even if it's damaged, what do you need back? What can we do to make you feel better about it? You know, our call to action is saving your memories one item at a time. And that's what we really focus on. You know, maybe it's your couch that someone gave you, or maybe it's that one photograph of your grandmother that, you know, the edges are burnt or whatnot. We're going to get that back to you one way or another, because it means something to you. The intrinsic value, it can't be quantified. So,
yeah. Well, I mentioned in my introduction that they may not necessarily have any kind of monetary value. How often is your team taking stuff back? You know, very politely, but once they're in the truck, shaking their head, thinking, I can't believe they want this restored, but let's do it. How common an occurrence is that?
It happens all the time. Believe it or not, we've had some fires where some items are so badly deteriorated, but you know, the homeowners are like, you know, I've had that when I was a child, or my father had that when I was a child, and now it's my turn to have it. I want to keep it, the memories behind it. A couple months ago, we had a jacket, and the jacket was embroidered 1968, and it was his father's jacket. And then when he got it as a young man, he called it his coat of many colors, because it was a patchwork quilt coat. And he says, no matter what happens in the house, I have to get that back. Well, it was in the epicenter of the fire, and it was discolored beyond belief. And we just managed to, you know, pull a little science and a little love into it. And no smell. We got some of the color back into it. And it was rather taken back that he got that. So, you know, of course, we're in the business to, you know, make a few dollars, but we're also in the business of making people feel good about their items too. So
I can see you have a relationship with these items. When you were going through the actual year of that jacket, you were looking up as you were searching through that Rolodex to try and get all the details. You weren't just out of the air. Tell me about your relationship with these items that aren't yours. They belong to somebody else. What connection do you feel to them, given that, you know, they're going to be out of your warehouse in X number of days?
Well, you know, you'll get something that comes into the warehouse, and especially something like that. You know, you know that homeowners really want these things back. It stops being the homeowners for a little while, and it starts to become yourself, and you feel the story behind it yourself. Some of those items, you know, I'll get out from behind the desk and I'll go in the back and I'll clean myself, or I'll transfer that story to a few members of the team. And now I'll go back there and I'll see the team spending a little bit more time on those particular items. So, I mean, it's moving for me to see my team really looking at those items. Oh, they used to be Sean's, but now they're mine, and I'm going to make it so good that Sean's going to be happy because now it's his, but the client gets it back. Sometimes they don't know what goes into the restoration effort, but that's okay, because at the end of the day, they got a little piece of history back. As well, now they know that the company was actually working in their best interest.
Can you tip your hand a little bit as to that magic when you say that the homeowner may not know what went into it? I'm thinking of that jacket, you know, if buttons were melted and gone or severed off somehow, it's more than just scrubbing and cleaning. So how do you go about replacing that handle on that dresser or reupholstering the corner of that couch, which may not be worth a whole lot in terms of money value, but is just beloved by its homeowner?
Absolutely. Sometimes, you know, you do what you can. Funny that you mentioned, you know, knobs on the dressers and whatnot. That's happened. And we've just gone to eBay. We've checked out different stores, antique stores. And lo and behold, sometimes we find the exact match. Sometimes we have something close and we replace it. And the homeowners are overjoyed with it. I've been with Calgary Contents for over 12 years and in the industry for over 14. And the one thing that I have and we passed on, and it's just growing, is our, you know, we call it our little tickle trunk of goodies, because we can always manage to find things that go with other things And those things, the knobs for the dresser, we get those back and we give them to the homeowners or replace them all. And we take the ones that are left, put them in a memory box and give that back to the homeowner. And they're happy that their dresser is now complete. It's functional, but they're overjoyed that they had the original glass knobs for it.
I guess, and I don't know how accurate this is. I just see your team on the internet, on eBay, scouring Facebook Marketplace with a 5,000 kilometer range and then going, got it. And then a bell going off and go, we found that knob. Is there one that stands out?
You know, a few years ago, we went to a file outside of Calgary, an old rancher who had become a game warden. And the man was in his 90s and his tractor inside his Quonset hut, his batteries caught on fire. And it threw some black smoke throughout the entire Quonset. You couldn't tell what anything was. And he took us upstairs and he says, I want those back. We're looking on the ground and it just looked like burnt up lumps. And he said, those really mean something to me. Some of those were my father's and his father's. But I want them back no matter what. I want them back.
Stick around for part two of my conversation with Sean Carter, General Manager of Calgary Contents, when we'll learn what those clumps were and how Sean brought them back to life. That's coming up in a bit here on Across the Street, Across the Country, a production of DKI Canada, which provides services to insurance, commercial, and residential clients from coast to coast. Whether it's an emergency response, water damage mitigation, fire and contents cleaning, mold remediation, or a complete reconstruction, DKI members are available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. If you're ever in need of emergency assistance, the number is 1-855-DKI-TODAY. That's 1-855-354-2329. At the root of what so much of what DKI does, what it is home. Home, in many ways, defines who we are as individuals, and each individual defines home differently. Here's one individual who made me feel at home almost immediately after I first met her about a year ago, right around this time.
Learning how to find direction. To me, home is more people than it would be an actual place or location. Shadows and reflections. My upbringing was a little bit nomadic, so I did a bit of traveling with my family. So we would do a lot of across-country traveling, and we would go into different countries and stuff just because of what my dad's employment was. I need to move on like the river. We had to adapt, we had to make it comfortable, I had to meet new people, make new friends. Nothing does anything. Change isn't hard for me, and picking up and leaving and going to a new location isn't at all intimidating. I adapted to it pretty easily because of what I had to growing up with my parents. And then later on in life, I started to travel on my own. And when I did that, I would make a new home in a new location. And this time it wouldn't necessarily be with people that I was related with. Even when I traveled alone or when I visited a new place alone, there's always somebody that I always correlate the memory to and cherish versus an actual location. Having experienced those people in such a short period of time, but having them rest with me is more what home means to me. I need to move on like the river. My name is Natalie Rotondo. I am a lead senior accounting specialist with DKI, and that's how I define home.
Early earlier in the program, we learned that Sean Carter has a deep respect for home, especially the homes of others. It's what drives the general manager of Calgary Contents to help get that special something back, restored, returned to life. Here's part two of my conversation with Sean Carter, which starts with Sean explaining what those lumps were and how his team restored them for the owner. You wanna be
better than... And then we started to pull at these things, and there were saddles. I think there was about 18 saddles, and some went back as far as the 1800s. And we took these back to the warehouse, and we thought, well, how are we going to clean this? So I started to do my research and whatnot. And that weekend, I remember taking my daughter to a native museum called Head Smashed In Buffalo Jump.
I know it.
And there was nobody in the museum. So one of the gentlemen came and said, I'm going to be your private tour guide. And we happened to cross an old saddle. And I told him about the story. He goes, oh, Sean, that's no problem. And he told me what to do. I went back. I told my team. We got the different things that we needed. When we took the saddles back about 8 months later after the Quonset hut was rebuilt, we rolled up the back door of the 5-ton, and this gentleman came out cane in hand, and he looked in on the floor of the 5-ton, and he saw all of his saddles. We didn't put one as non-restorable. They were all shined. They were all polished. They were all ready to go. His cane fell out of his hand, and he just walked away. And I thought, uh-oh, what's going on here? We took him out, we put him on the saddle trees, and then he came back and he told me to gather the whole team together. And he shook everybody's hand and he hugged everybody. And he said, I might not be able to get back in the leather, but my grandchildren will be able to. It was rather a moving day. And it just, the knowledge comes from everywhere at some point in time. And I think my team knows that we're only limited by our imagination. You know, there's some good things in this industry.
A few tears, I'm guessing, in that moment too, amongst all of
there were a lot of tears.
Yeah,
I won't lie. You know, I know some cowboys, and you know, there's that song, "Cowboys Don't Cry." Well, he did.
With that, though, Sean, comes a lot of pressure when you bring in something like that for you and your team to know that, oh boy, this means so much to this person. I hope we live up to the expectations. How do you manage that as you're cleaning it, as you're restoring it, as you're searching for those items, just knowing that the stakes can be pretty high?
They are. Like, I mean, you know, Yoda said, there is no try, there's just do. In our industry, it's try hard. But we also know our limitations, and our limitations could possibly hurt a precious moment. There was a lady with the first painting that she ever produced, and we tried everything that we knew, but we couldn't save this painting. So she came in, she was rather disappointed, and she took it to a few art galleries, and they came up with a solution. She shared that solution with us, so now that goes in our tickle trunk. But sometimes some things can't be done, but we do our best to make sure before we throw in the towel on it.
The people you have and how you're recruiting them, you need more than just skilled tradespeople.
100%.
Okay, so tell me about what goes into that 100% when you've got someone on the other side of your desk and you're thinking of hiring them, knowing that, yeah, I know you can swing a hammer. I know you can, you know, search the internet for certain items. I know you know how to refasten and clean, but what else are you looking for in them, given what we've just discussed?
Years ago when Calgary Contents was formed, I was told that, and you see it in a lot of restoration companies, you've got gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, they're on the tools. They're knocking down walls. They're doing whatever they have to. And they're also packing Versace china. They're packing these delicate items, and they're moving things. Well, that works to a certain point. Now, what we're looking for is that individual that can do all of that without swinging the hammer. It's patience. You know, Wyatt Earp, he said, fast is fine, but accuracy is final. So when we do a pack out or we're doing cleaning a specialty item, we need people that understand that kind of theory, because you can rush through cleaning something. And once you clean it, you have to realize that some cleaners will set, stains will never be able to be removed, furniture will just remain that way. So we really have to think about what we do. So when we bring people in, we show them what to do. We train them. We tell them your ideas, bring them forward. We want people that offer ideas, and we'll together collaboratively make those solutions. So we're really looking for individuals that have a lot of empathy. Again, when I first started, a gentleman told me, in this industry, doing what you'll be doing in contents restoration, you'll be changing lives. And I thought, I just kind of giggled about it. And I thought, oh, that's corny. But it's true. Like, I mean, you bring something back to someone who thought that they would never get it back in the first place. You change their mindset. You walk into a home that's just been burnt out and say, don't worry, we're here, we'll take care of it. You give them an inventory of everything that you've taken back or taken out of their home, and they feel at ease. But sometimes their home doesn't go back for a year, but they know that it's in good care.
Do you keep them abreast of the developments? Like, will you have people calling you or visiting to say, hey, can I just see how you're making out with that particular
100%.
Yeah. So you're cool with that, so that they can actually see the transformation. What's their reaction when they see that couch, which is maybe better, but not quite there? I just wonder, are they skeptical or hopeful? Or
sometimes they're very skeptical. You know, you can't clean that, you can't do that. But the biggest reaction that we get overall is, I didn't expect to get this much back. That's what we're hired for. That's why the company was made. That's why we go through all the extensive training. It's a feel-good time. It's a feel-good moment. There's some clients where I'll pull the entire team. We won't need the entire team to do a pack back, but I want them to go to that file just so they see what I see. They see what the client feels. Because I'll tell you something. There's second Friday of every month, everybody gets a paycheck, and that feels good. But nothing compares to, you know, somebody coming up and saying thank you, shaking your hand, or giving you a hug. It's a good moment.
You're managing personalities as much as you're managing tradespeople, I can tell.
There's a lot of them, you bet.
Sean, we live in a time now when it's very much a disposable society in many ways. Oh, that's broken. Throw it out. Don't bother fixing it. And it's something I personally struggle with. I will spend more money to have something repaired instead of replacing it, because I just feel this responsibility, as virtuous as that may sound. But you're very much in that business of keeping things out of the landfill, keeping it out of the off the end of the road. How much does that play in your job, knowing that we're going to keep one thing out of being garbage, not being garbage? We're going to make it not garbage.
Some of the insurance companies that we work for are fantastic. They will say, okay, all the non-restorable items, as long as they're functioning, that old couch that they don't want back, if it doesn't smell anymore, if it's decontaminated, let's donate it. So one of the great charitable donations that we'd love to give to is Women in Need. Habitat Humanity strikes up another cause. So we try to donate as much as we can and keep as much out of the landfill as we can.
Early on in our conversations leading up to this, you indicated that this is your passion. And I know we touched on that a bit, but maybe just some closing thoughts on how you can elaborate on that, how this, it's not just a job, it's not just your paycheck, it right. is your passion. Please expound on that.
You know, a few years ago, we were looking at cleaning some wood furniture. And I thought, wow, nothing that we have really in the industry is really doing what it needs to do. So I just started doing some research, and I've been doing that for the last 12 years. And we've come up with a What Works book. And out of that book, there's things in there like shaving cream. Who would think that you could clean wood products with shaving cream? There's a lot of things that we can do that we've never been able to do before. Science is our friend, and we just got to keep on trucking along with it. Lori, my manager, will tell you that sometimes my head is buried in the science. I think for me, that's what's my passion in this industry, is just finding out what works, because we all want to help people. Yeah, that's what makes me tick.
Sean, thanks so much for this.
Thank you for having me.
You gotta admire anyone who can quote Wyatt Earp and Yoda. My thanks to Sean Carter of Calgary Contents for sharing such wonderful stories behind restoring people's memories. Thanks also to DKI's Natalie Rotondo for telling us how she defines home. Close Kicks and Cassie Noble contributed our opening and closing theme music. Thanks to them for that. DKI Canada actively contributes to creating a better future through environmental protection and social responsibility. Focused on leaving things better than DKI found them, DKI is committed to using environmentally sustainable cleaning products and mitigating risk in environmentally sustainable ways. If you have a story idea or a thought about the show, please reach out to us via the DKI Canada website or its social media platforms like LinkedIn. And don't forget to share our link. That'll help others find us. Across the Street, Across the Country is written, produced, and hosted by me, Denis Grignel. We're back in a few weeks with a brand new episode. Until then, check out past episodes for free on your favorite streaming platform. They've got that timeless feel to them. Feel free to keep me company
as I slip into myself. What does home mean for you?
Hey, thanks for asking. You know what? Just today, I told Nancy, I said, I get a lot of fascination and warmth now looking out the window and watching snow melt. And that, to me, is that sense of home, just the feeling that I'm witnessing stuff happening right now and enjoying it. Home is never feeling a deep-seated need to leave.